Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with John Salamone, Executive Director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council at the Office of Personnel Management. Also joining us in our conversation is John Kaminsky, Senior Fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. John, we want to talk about some of the changes you and Director Springer have put in place to enhance the effectiveness of the CHCO Council. I believe this past year, OPM established the Deputy CHCO position. Why were these positions established, and what are you looking to accomplish through these new roles?
Sure. Actually, the Deputy Chief Human Capital Officers, I think, are extremely important. And prior to my coming on board, the director talked about adding the Deputy Chief Human Capital Officers at the council meeting last March. And we really see the deputies playing three very important roles for the council. First and foremost, they will help us serve as the links to the federal human resources directors. We've heard through GAO reports, through interviews that I actually conducted with the chief human capital officers and deputy chief human capital officers when I first came on board. I went around and met with all of the chief human capital officers and the deputies. It took me about 2 months. And we heard that, you know, what was happening at the council level wasn't necessarily filtering down to the federal human resource directors. So most, if not all, of the deputy chief human capital officers are either HR directors themselves or they have HR directors that report to them. So we're hoping that the deputies will serve as another set of eyes and ears to come to the council meetings and filter information to the HR community. Second, I think, you know, the deputies will also help us identify and share best practices. We have a lot of goals in our strategic plan dealing with finding and sharing best practices. And really, with their subject matter expertise, we're hoping that the deputies will identify and help us share those best practices and find the right forums to share those best practices. And finally, really, the deputies will help us ensure continuity when there's changes in leadership at the council level. Most, if not all, of the deputies are career civil servants. So when there's changes in administration or changes at the individual chief human capital officer level in an agency, the deputy chief human capital officer will be able to step in and say, here are the things that the council's been working on. Here's the direction that the council is going. Here's what's working. Here's what's not working. And really just helping us ensure that there is continuity when we have that leadership change.
So it really helps broaden the reach of the council across the
most definitely. Most definitely.
Right. Now, also recently, OPM made some additional changes to the subcommittee structure of the council. Can you describe these changes as well as the rationale behind the new structures?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And again, this was something that the director was working on right around the same time about the March council meeting right before I came on board. We have six new subcommittees. The structure includes emergency preparedness, hiring and succession planning, the human capital workforce, the HR line of business, learning and development, and performance management. The six subcommittees, really, the director looked at the structure that we had previously, and some of the subcommittees are the same. Some of them are split up and combined in different ways. But really, the current structure is intended to ensure that we focus on the most pressing human capital issues facing the government. And we've been very, very active with all of the subcommittees. Each of the subcommittees meets on a monthly basis, and we've been working very diligently toward meeting the goals and objectives that we've outlined in the FY 2007 strategic plan for the subcommittees.
Now, on the same topic, the subcommittees released their new mission statements and operational goals, which are obviously sponsored by the CHCO Council. Can you talk about how and why this document was developed, and more specifically, how the subcommittees plan to accomplish their goals?
Sure, absolutely. The subcommittee strategic plans were really born out of a conversation that that Director Springer had, and she thought that the best way to get the chief human capital officers engaged and have the subcommittees work on things that are meaningful is to give the subcommittees and the subcommittee chairs the autonomy to develop their own strategic plans and things that they want to work on to accomplish the goals for the council. We've really taken a bottom-up approach. The council members and the subcommittees Had a great deal of autonomy to draft their own mission statements and their own goals. I will say that I played a role in that to the extent that I provided each of the subcommittees with a draft mission statement because I felt that it was better to give them something to react to rather than starting from scratch. But when it comes down to the goals and objectives that they've put together, really those were conversations that happened at the subcommittee meetings to really drive the agenda for each of the subcommittees. Let me add to this and talk a little bit about how the subcommittees plan to accomplish their goals to get back to your original question, Al. Each of the subcommittees, as I had indicated, meets on a monthly basis, and I bring the OPM staff with me to the relevant subcommittee meetings. The listeners can go on the website, as I indicated, www.chcoc.gov, to pull up our strategic plan, and you will see that the goals, for example, the Emergency Preparedness Subcommittee, one of their goals was to assist OPM in the development of a communication plan for pandemic influenza. This subcommittee was extremely active with OPM when we were developing our guidance last summer from May to August. They helped us develop our guidance, and they helped us pre-clear our guidance before we went through the OMB clearance process. So we're working very collaboratively between OPM and the subcommittees to accomplish the goals and objectives that they've put forward.
John, in 2006, the Office of Personnel Management issued its strategic and operational plan, so that's separate from what the Council's plan is, but it includes outcome goals that are focused on human capital results that agencies have to implement. What role does the Council play in helping OPM achieve those kinds of goals?
That's a great question, John. Actually, if the listeners look in the back of our strategic plan, the Council strategic plan, they will see that we have linked OPM's operational goals and objectives, the relevant operational goals and objectives, to the subcommittees as well. So not only do we have OPM staff that go to the council or subcommittee meetings to talk about the goals and objectives that the subcommittees have put together, but we have staff that goes to the subcommittee meetings to talk about OPM's goals and objectives so we can partner and collaborate with the council to accomplish the goals and objectives that OPM has set forward. We've had some very good successes, as I mentioned, the Emergency Preparedness Subcommittee working with OPM on the pandemic influenza guidance, but we've also had the Hiring and Succession Planning Subcommittee work very closely with OPM to develop more targeted job fairs for college students for our job fairs.
The council and its members seem to operate maybe a bit as a federation of independent agencies. They obviously have diverse views and stuff because they're coming from different programmatic areas. But what's the biggest challenge for OPM and the council to work together on achieving common goals?
That's a really good question. And yes, I think, operating as a federation of independent agencies is probably a good descriptor. But I think we really do, fortunately, have a very open and collaborative working relationship with the council and the council members. And I think we're very pleased with the progress that we've been making so far. But to answer your question, John, I think, we'll continue to find ways to strengthen and enhance those relationships so that we can work together to secure a positive legacy for the council so that the next set of leaders coming into the CHCO roles will have a solid foundation for working with OPM and building on what we've been able to put in place for the council.
John, one of the other elements of the CHCO Act was the establishment of the CHCO Academy. Can you talk a little bit about this academy as well as why it was established and what role does it play in relation to the council and the agencies?
I'd be happy to. And actually, the academy was originally intended to serve as a way for the chief human capital officers to learn about and share best practices. With Director Springer opening up the council meetings to deputies as well, we now have deputies come to the meetings. But I've worked on several training academy sessions. I serve, I guess, as the dean of the training academy. But when I came on board, the training academy sessions were relatively low turnout. Six, maybe five, six, seven chief human capital officers would show up. My first meeting, we had deputies on board, so I think we had close to 17, 18 members. But I took a look at the training academy sessions and felt that we may actually be missing an opportunity. And getting back to the link to the federal human resources community and the practitioners, I thought it was a good idea really to open up the academy sessions to allow each chief human capital officer to bring three staff members with them to the training academy sessions. And in the last couple of sessions that we've had between 60 and 70 attendees. And that is, you know, 10 times what we were originally having when the council first set up the training academy sessions. And in this year alone, we had in January a training academy session on the SES pay for performance system, where we had 70 agency representatives attend and hear best practices. OPM kicked off the meeting, talked about the system, talked about the requirements, talked about the certification process. And then we had the Department of Labor, the USDA, Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Treasury share best practices with those 70 attendees on things that they've done to help improve their SES pay for performance system. And in February, we had a training academy session on telework. And we talked to some agencies brought some agencies in to talk about things that they're doing in their agency to enhance and promote telework, which is obviously extremely important to the federal workforce and, quite frankly, an area where I think we need to focus a little bit more attention on. But really, the training academy sessions, I think, is one of our biggest successes. I'm going to look to possibly webcasting the training academy sessions as a way to reach an even wider audience, something that I'm talking to the OPM staff about and we'll be talking to the council members about as well. It may not make sense to webcast every single training academy session, but certainly there are some that we could webcast, and if the issue was hot enough, we really could reach a very, very wide audience. And I have to give credit to a DHS staff or Department of Homeland Security staff member. I was talking about the training academy sessions at a recent presentation I gave at the National Academy of Public Administration, and they actually suggested that we webcast the training academy session. So it was a excellent suggestion, and one of the benefits, I think, about getting out there and talking about the mission and the successes of the council is to hear from the community on what we're working on and how we can make improvements. So certainly that was a worthwhile suggestion, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to pull that off.
That's a fantastic forum for sharing best practices across a wide variety of agencies. That's great. Are they typically run by council members?
Actually, I work with the council members to pull together the training academy sessions or the topics. Sometimes the director, Linda Springer, will suggest topics, and she actually suggested the SES topic, and I thought the telework was the next logical thing for us to be working on or the next logical issue area for us to highlight. But, you know, we're open, and I talk to the deputy chief human capital officers, I talk to the subcommittee members, and I talk to the members of the council about what future topics would be relevant and timely for the council to showcase as an academy session.
That's fantastic. What are some of the key human capital challenges facing the federal government? We will ask John Solomon, Executive Director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council at the Office of Personnel Management, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.